And I've been joined in the studio by Archie McKnight. Good morning, Archie.
Good morning, Gillian.
How are you doing?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
Are you enjoying the sunshine, this nice weather?
I've left the house for the first time this year without a jacket. So, yeah, it's great.
Get you.
It's a wee bit kind of chilly out there, but I am from the Hebrides, so it's not too bad.
Oh, it's positively sunburn weather for you, then.
That's right, yeah. T-shirts all round.
Yeah, dear me. So, Artie, you're here to talk to us about this week's Northern League. Goings on. Is that a fair phrase? Goings on?
Goings on, yes, yeah. It's been another interesting week in the Northern League, and it's all beginning to hot up as we get to the end of the season. Bit of nerves at the top, and a bit of a roller coaster week for all of the teams.
Yeah, I noticed yesterday there's quite a bit of moving around on that league table, isn't there?
Yeah, there is indeed.
Everybody's shuffling around a bit.
Yeah.
Vying for position. So, okay then, what happened through the week then? Shall we start kind of midweek?
Yeah, well, we'll start even earlier than that. We'll start at the beginning of the week on Monday. Shildon were playing on Monday night against Team Northumbria. They had an early opportunity to get back to winning ways after dropping 2 points at second bottom Hibburn Town last Saturday. And they were very quick out of the blocks in that match, scoring twice in the opening 10 minutes. The first came from a good move down the left with Darren Richardson's cross, which was nodded back across goal by Jamie Harwood for Mark Hudson to convert from close range in 7 minutes. And just 2 minutes later, it was 2-0. A defence-splitting pass by Craig Ruddy sent Paul Connor through one-on-one, and he made no mistake, rounding the keeper before sliding the ball into the empty net. And with less than half an hour played, the lead was extended further from an identical move to the first goal. It was a Richardson cross from the left, a Harwood header back across goal, and this time it was Paul Connor who nodded home from close range. So Shildon could have been forgiven for thinking that the game was over by then, but Team Northumbria came out determined to at least win the second half if they couldn't win the match. Shildon seemed content to let the university side come onto them, and the pressure eventually told when Tom Chippendale thundered home an unstoppable volley on the hour. The visitors looked nervous after that, but looked to have held on as the game came to its close. But 4 minutes from the end, Team Northumbria hit the bar, and in the last minute they scored with another scorcher of a goal from Lewis Storey this time. So the home side piled forward in an effort to find an equaliser, but left themselves exposed at the back, and it was Shildon who secured the points with a breakaway goal, Ben Wood lobbing the keeper to return the railwaymen back to winning ways.
Sounds like an exciting match then. What was the final score?
Very exciting match that ended 4-2 to Shildon.
Oh, well done, guys.
And that result left Shildon in second place on 72 points after 34 games, and that was the only action on Monday night.
Right, what about getting on to the midweek then?
Yeah, Tuesday night we had some of our local sides playing then as well. First up was Spennymoor, who travelled to Hebburn, and they weren't in any mood to drop any points like Shildon had the previous Saturday. They took the lead through Andrew Stevenson, but they were actually pegged back by the second bottom side, who scored a goal from Bell. The Moors then got themselves back into the lead before half-time through Dan Taylor, before Stevenson, with a second of the game, made sure of the points in the second half. Stevenson actually had a glorious chance to secure a hat-trick in the final minute, but he missed a penalty. It was Spennymoor's fifth straight win, and that left them in third place with 70 points from 31 games. So they were just 2 points behind second place Shildon, with three games in hand over their title rivals. The result also put the Moors on Tuesday night within 8 points of league leaders Celtic Nation, but with six games in hand over their title and promotion rivals. Bishop Auckland were also playing on Tuesday night. They travelled across the Pennines to take on Penrith, mm-hmm. and made the long journey home empty-handed after a 4-2 defeat. Two goals from Rigg, one each from Errington and Hall, secured the points for the Cumbrians. A Penrith own goal and an Earl goal were the only consolation for the two Blues for their journey back home. And that result left Bishop in 12th position in the league on 47 points after 33 games.
I bet that was a great journey.
Yes, yeah, not the greatest, the journey back across the Pennines empty-handed, no.
Probably not. What about West Auckland then? Didn't they play on Tuesday?
They did indeed play on Tuesday. They played in the Northern League Cup. The Brooks Miles and Northern League Cup third round. They were at home against Whitley Bay, and after their FA Vaz win at Dunstan the previous weekend, they were obviously again on cup duty, this time at home. And it was a shock result this time, as the visitors dumped West out of the cup with a 1-0 win. Alex Kempster scored the only goal of the game just before half-time, and for once, West couldn't find a response. West can now concentrate on the league and the FA Vaz, but they now find themselves with 11 league matches still to be rearranged and played before the end of the season in mid-April. So they've got a big task in their hand to get back up the league now that they're out of that particular cup.
Very cool.
There was one other first division match on Tuesday night, and that was at Ashington, who slumped to a 2-0 home defeat against strugglers Marsk. Clark and Yalson scored the goals for Marsk in that 2-0 win. Our local side Tullow were also playing on Tuesday night in Division 2, and they came away 3-1 winners against Northallerton. Danny Wilson with a brace, and David Pinkney with the other goal for Tullow. Chris Burton replying for Northallerton. That left Tullow on Tuesday night with 44 points from their 34 games and in 13th position in the league.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice safe place for them, isn't it?
Yeah, they're absolutely safe. Yeah, they've got no worries about struggling in the relegation battle this season yet.
Okay, what about Wednesday then?
Yeah, we had a couple of local sides playing on Wednesday night as well. Aycliffe travelled to Dunstan, who were looking to bounce back, obviously, from their FA Vaz exit at the hands of West Auckland, and bounce back they did with a convincing 4-0 win. McAndrew, Ormston, Whiteman and Bulford scored for Dunstan, and there was no reply, unfortunately, from Newton Aycliffe, who are now, who remain on 45 points and are in 13th position in the league after 35 games. There were two other First Division matches. Morpeth lost 1-0 to Gisborough, and Newcastle Benfield drew 1-1 with Durham City. In Division 2, Willington were playing on the night as well, and they travelled to league leaders North Shields. And league leaders did make light work of the visitors with a 4-1 win.
Oh, no.
I'm afraid so, yes. I guess Willington won't be considering that as one of their crunch games of the season, since North Shields are really doing very well at the top of the league this season, so...
I'm disappointed. Willington is my second team.
I know, yes, yeah. I'm sorry to keep bringing you bad news about Willington on a regular basis, but to be fair, they're in 15th position in the league on 38 points after 35 games, and that really kind of leaves them fairly safe, really, in the division. I don't think they'll be heading back down again, so they'll be with us again for next season.
Yeah, that sounds good. As long as they are.
We are indeed.
We've had a roundup of what went on through the week. Mm-hmm. What about yesterday, then? What about Saturday? Because it was a busy day, wasn't it?
It was a busy day and a dramatic day on Saturday with a full league programme, which included the game of the day taking place at West Auckland, who were hosting the league leaders, Celtic Nation. So,
I bet that was exciting.
So that was the big match of the day. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the big matches of the day. And it was the visitors who took command of that game with a Colin McMenamin penalty and a Bobby Moore strike on a stroke of half-time, which gave Nation a two-goal advantage going into the break. The penalty incident also saw West captain Andrew Green sent off for a last-man challenge. So West Auckland went into the second half 2-0 down and down to 10 men. But we all know that West Auckland never give up.
Of course they don't.
And so it was at the 10 men battle back, and Matty Moffat gave them hope of an unlikely turnaround with a goal 10 minutes from time. But of course, nothing's really that unlikely when West are playing. And in the final seconds of the game, up popped Moffat again to score a sensational equaliser and snatch a point right at the death. So Nation remain in top spot on 79 points after 38 games, but will be kicking themselves at missing a glorious opportunity to take 3 points off one of their title rivals. And of course, the busy cup schedule that we've been talking about has seen West slip down to sixth position in the league with 63 points, but after 29 games. So they've got a large number of games in hand over everybody else. But if Shildon and Spennymoor's experience from last season is anything to go by, it's going to be very difficult for West to reach the top of the table by the end of the season with so many games that they have to squeeze in the intervening time.
Oh, it's exciting though, isn't it? I've got everything crossed for them.
Yeah.
Interesting, you mentioned there that Bobby Moore, the ex-Spennymoor player, scored for Celtic Nation.
That's right.
Do you think he's making a bit of a comeback to form?
He seems to be. I think that's his second.
Come back to life, is he?
I think that's his second goal recently as well. So,
yeah.
So he does seem to be getting himself back to a bit of form again. And of course, he had said when he was moving away from Spennymoor that he kind of needed to get himself mentally ready to get back into the game as well, and it looks like whatever he's doing now is paying off. He's back on the score sheet a couple of times, and name's beginning to reappear.
Sometimes, you know, they say a change is good as a rest.
Absolutely, they sure do. I've heard that saying before.
And in his case, maybe that's true.
That's right, yes.
Okay, what else? Who else was playing yesterday then?
Well, yesterday there was another high-profile match also taking place over at the Brewery Field, where Spennymoor were hosting their local rivals, Bishop Auckland. And again, that was a tough game, obviously, for the top-of-the-table side, who found themselves also reduced to 10 men and held to a 1-1 draw by the two Blues. Mm-hmm. And it was Spennymoor's captain, Chris Mason, who found himself on the end of that red card after a last-man challenge. The sides did go into the break at nothing each, but in the second half, it was Bishop who took the lead through Butler. But Spennymoor, again, similar to West, they're another side who don't really give things up, and they managed to claw their way back into the game with an equaliser through Cogdon. But again, local derbies, I guess, are unpredictable, and Spennymoor, I guess, will look at that as dropped points as well, particularly given that they were playing at home.
I've got to say, my money would have been on Spennymoor yesterday, but I think with the announcements of Bishop Auckland and the stability coming through, perhaps
they've kind of said, haven't they, that the manager and assistant are going to be remain in place, so that's probably given them a bit of a lift as well. And of course, you know, I mean, it's such a common thing in football that local derbies, always end up being tight affairs, and it's never an easy game to play, no matter what position sides are in the league table. These things can tend to equalise each other out. It does leave Spennymoor in third place in the league on 71 points after 32 games, and it also leaves Bishop in 12th place in the league with 48 points after 34 games.
Right.
And so, with all around them dropping points...
that's not a bad place, really, for Bishop Auckland, given the season they've had.
Given the season they've had, I think they've done well to kind of remain mid-table and, be reasonably steady. Yeah, and, results like that yesterday will make them feel as if they're making some kind of progress as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, who else was playing then?
Yeah, of course... all around and dropping points meant that Shildon were hoping to take advantage of any slip-ups by their title rivals when they played host to 19th-placed Morpeth Town. Both sides struggled in blustery conditions on a bumpy surface, but it was the railwaymen who took the lead just before half-time when Paul Connor turned home a Mark Hudson pass. But the home side struggled to extend their lead, and with Morpeth pressing forward in search of an equaliser, they found themselves on the back foot for much of the second half. And with just 1 minute remaining, the visitors struck to snatch a draw in somewhat controversial circumstances. From a Morpeth corner, the referee failed to award Shildon a free kick after a handball in the box. And with the Shildon defender still claiming the foul, the ball was floated back into the danger area for Swanson to nod home. Shildon manager Gary Forrest was incensed with the decision, confronting the referee after the final whistle. I spoke to him after the game. I think we might be able to hear what he's got to what he had to say.
Here we go. Right, we'll have another go. Hang on. If I press all the right buttons in the right order, we might get there. Here we go.
With Gary Forrest, Shildon manager, after today's 1-1 draw with Morpeth. Gary, disappointing result today?
Yeah, it's disappointing, particularly with the way the results have gone. Celtic Nation and West Auckland drawn, which is the result we wanted. And Bishop Auckland getting a draw at Spennymoor, which, you know, so it's frustrating to have conceded a goal with 4 or 5 minutes to go. You know, and it was, and to be honest with you, the goal shouldn't have stood. It was a blatant handball in the 18-yard box. So that's the one this week that being not being given for us, and one last week which was as blatant as you can get, which hasn't been given. So it's fair to say we're not getting the rub of the green as far as some of the decisions. They're not just simple decisions. You know, not the difficult decisions to make. They're very simple decisions, and the referees, you know, don't want to start blaming the referees. It's hard to, you always say to managers, oh, you know, I blame the referee again, but when you see it, how they can't get that right, it's baffling. You know, but we score the dugouts on their behaviour and their and the way they go about things. We score the ref, we score the fans, we score the players, and nobody bothers to score the referees properly. So they constantly make these mistakes and constantly get away with it. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's the game. Frustrated.
Yeah. Do you think our own performance second half were maybe a little bit disappointing? We weren't able to maybe increase that the lead from the 1-0, make it a little bit more safe for ourselves.
What people don't understand is how difficult it is to get any sort of football on Dean Street. The players can't eye off the ball. They can't lift their heads up to have a look to see what pass, what options they've got. They have to keep their eye on the ball for every second of every minute during the course of the game. So you saw how well we played in Team Northumbria on a nice pitch. I thought we were outstanding in the first half. Today, you can't do anything but help the ball on. And unless we start doing something even more than what we've attempted to, so we're probably never going to go and win this league. It's virtually impossible to play any football on it, and it frustrates the lads, to be honest with you.
Yeah. But do you take any positives? I guess one thing is that the others around us all did drop points, so we haven't really lost any ground.
As I said to the lads in the changing room after the game, because they're all frustrated. They're frustrated at the referee. They're frustrated at themselves. They're frustrated at the pitch. Mm-hmm. You know. But as I said to the lads, hold on a second, we're in exactly the same situation we were when we walked through the ground at 1:30 this afternoon. So nothing's changed by the looks of it. Spennymoor have dropped points, Celtic Nation dropped points, West Auckland dropped points, and we've dropped points. And as I said last week after the Hebburn game, I said that there'll be lots and lots of twists and turns between now and the end of the season. There will be even more twists and turns between now and the end of the season. None of us are going to go and win every single game. We're all going to drop points, and it's going to boil down to the last couple of games, and don't be surprised if this season it boils down to goal difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just looking forward then, we're obviously back here at Dean Street again on Wednesday night. As you say, it's a difficult surface, but we're playing Dunstan. How do you see that game?
Dunstan are a very good side. They're very difficult to beat. You know, they're very direct. They're playing a bit more football this year than they have done previous years, but they are very direct. Very difficult side to beat. We saw that in the cup semi-final there the other week. You know, we're going to have to put in a shift. We're going to have to work hard, and we're going to have to take our chances when they come along on Wednesday. And Dunstan will be coming here. You know, they're a hard-working, disciplined team. You know, at this moment in time, I don't really care whether we play brilliantly, play absolutely atrociously, or we play bang average. Mm. As long as we manage somehow to find 3 points on Wednesday night, then I'll be a happy man.
It looks like you lost. Might have lost Ben Wood. He limped off this afternoon.
Yeah, it's a bit of a blow as well. Ben's been outstanding this season. Probably he's been one of our better players this season. I think he's on something like 20 assists during the course of the season, which is an amazing record, scoring goals as well. Don't know how long he's going to be out for. Dean will be having a look at him over the next couple of days. With Sam Garvey out suspended as well, it's leaving us with limited options. Yeah. But we'll see what we can come up with before now and. Now on Wednesday.
Okay, so that was Archie talking to Gary Forrest, the Shildon manager. So he was quite critical there of the pitch, wasn't he?
Yeah, frustrated Gary Forrest. He was he was clearly unhappy at the referee's failure to award a free kick in the lead up to the Morpeth goal, but yes, also frustrated at the pitch at Dean Street hinders the team's style of play, really.
Yeah, not a happy chap.
No.
Not a happy chap this week, anyway. He might be next week.
Not this week, but he might be next week. Yes, you're quite right. But I guess, you know, the best that can be said about the result from Shildon's perspective is, and Gary Forrest made the point in his interview, is that Shildon didn't lose any ground to any of their title rivals. So the top of the table is as we were at the beginning of the day, really. Shildon remain in second place in 73 points after 35 games. And, well, I guess I should also apologise for my continued use of the words we and us in the in the interview as well. It's supposed to be a little bit more objective than that, but all I can offer in my defence is that it's difficult to separate the journalist from the fan at times, especially straight after a match, but I do apologise for that.
That's okay, we'll forgive you.
Before we move on from Shildon, I did want to give a mention to the Shildon Supporters Club as well. Mm. They had a bit of a special day yesterday at the match as well, because they distributed over £1,200 in grants to local community groups yesterday. The Supporters Club have been running a weekly lottery since the beginning of this season, and part of that lottery has been one of the objectives of that lottery has been to try and raise funds for local community groups, and this was the first time that they were able to actually distribute any of that money. So seven local groups were able to benefit from that funding yesterday, so I think they were all very happy as well.
Yeah, what a great idea. Yeah. That's a lovely touch, isn't it? Okay, what about other teams, and were they playing yesterday? Didn't they have Crook?
Yes, we had Crook playing yesterday as well. Crook first team coach Chris Hughes sent us a report on the match and began by saying that it was a tough defeat for them to take. They went down 3-2 to Marsk away from home.
Right.
We had two great chances before Marsk took the lead through a penalty converted by Gott, says Chris. We then conceded again from a poor bit of defending. We got back in it with Kyle Davis beating the keeper when put through one-on-one, but Marsk scored again immediately afterwards to make it 3-1 at half-time. We came out in the second half and dominated from start to finish, but missed chance after chance. Kyle Davis scored again midway through the half, but we couldn't find an equaliser. Overall, says Chris, we can't be unhappy with the performance, as we did dominate most of the game. On another day, we could have had 6 or 7 goals. Looking forward to Wednesday's match away at Morpeth, Chris reports that Mark Ellison is out of that game, but that Steve Hetherington, Richard Hodgson and Paul Braithwaite are all back available for selection. And that result leaves Crook in 16th place in the league with 43 points after 34 games. That leaves them also 9 points clear of the final relegation place, so they're reasonably safe in the league.
I was going to say, that's not a bad place.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Also playing yesterday was Newton Aycliffe. They travelled away to Woodley Bay and unfortunately suffered yet another defeat, this time at the hands of the team who were still basking in their cup win over Weston midweek. Two goals from Stevenson and one from Reid were countered by a goal from Daniel Mellenby, but the match ended 3-1 to the home side. And that leaves Newton Aycliffe still on 45 points, still in 13th place, and they've played 36 games now.
Mm-hmm.
The other results in Division 1, Ashington 0, Gisborough 4. Danny Johnson scored all four goals for Gisborough to take his tally for the season to 40 league goals in just 34 games. So he's way out on his own as the league's top scorer. Billingham Synthonia 1, Dunstan 3, Newcastle Benfield 3, Bedlington 0, Penrith 2, Consett 0, Sunderland RCA 3, Billingham Town 1.
Mm-hmm. Well, not too shocking, those results, though, are they?
No. No, not really. I mean, I think they're sort of fairly standard fare for the season that Newton Aycliffe, I guess, and Crook have had. You know, they've been fairly up and down. It's been a bit of a roller coaster for both of them, but they're both sort of mid-table, reasonably safe. Probably looking a little bit too, particularly Crook, I think, will be, you know, taking this season as a first step back into Division One, and you know, looking probably to kick on next season from, you know, having made sure that they remained in the division this season. That's, I think that's always the top priority of any team that gets promoted into the top division, is to make sure that they remain in that division the following season, and from there they can then start to build.
Okay, what about our second division sides then?
Yeah, our two,
and
our two second division sides were on their travels yesterday. Mixed fortunes for them. Towlaw were away at Wickham and went down to a 2-0 defeat. Atkins scoring both of the goals in that game. Willington travelled to Darlington RA and came away with a 2-2 draw in that game. Granger and Morrow for Darlington RA, Whitworth and Hillary scoring for Willington.
So what have we got to look forward to then, do you think, over the next week? What's coming up?
More very interesting games to look forward to over the coming week. On Tuesday, West Auckland are away at Durham City in the league.
Oh, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting game and another local match, which always makes things a little bit more interesting and more difficult for both sides. Spennymoor are away at Billingham Town, the league's rock bottom side, and if they win that game, they'll go second in the league. On Wednesday, Crooktown are away at Morpeth, as we've heard Chris Hughes mention earlier on. Aycliffe are at home on Wednesday night, and they host the league leaders, Celtic Nation, so that's a big match, that one, and that one doesn't kick off until 7:45.
Do you think Aycliffe will be able to stay on form and have that six-goal thriller?
Well, you know, it's multiple goals every time you go to... I think what we can guarantee at that game is goals.
Yes.
Who scores them is a different matter altogether. I mean, Aycliffe are currently on a little bit of a slump, but you never can tell. I think they're a bit...
they go all out, don't they?
Yeah, they've got a defence that likes to gift opposition a few goals, but they're very capable of going out and scoring a few themselves. So I'm pretty sure the league leaders won't be taking that game lightly at all.
Absolutely.
Shildon, as Gary Forrest mentioned, are also at home on Wednesday night against Dunstan, and they'll be hoping that the pitch doesn't cause them any problems. They've obviously recently knocked Dunstan out of the Durham Challenge Cup, so they'll be hoping to continue that particular form in that game. And that's the local midweek matches. Next Saturday we again have another full league programme, so all of our local sides are playing on Saturday. Shildon this time will be off to Billingham Town to take on the bottom side, and I guess they'll be hoping that, with no disrespect at all to Billingham Town, that they'll be able to put a few past them and get their goal difference up in that match, because as Gary Forrest also said, this is a season that might end up going down to goal difference. So unfortunately, Billingham Town being the whipping boys of the league, I think the guys up at the top will all be targeting them for getting their goal difference up. So it's going to be a tough week for Billingham Town, playing Spennymoor in midweek and Shildon at the weekend.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, Bishop Auckland are at home, they play Hibbern Town. The big game of the day takes place over in Carlisle. Celtic Nation play host to Spennymoor.
That's going to be a good match,
and
isn't it?
That's going to be both of those. Not only are both of those sides vying for the title, they're also both vying for promotion into the next league. So it's a huge game for both of them. That one
could be a bloodbath.
I think there'll be a very big crowd at that game anyway, yeah, as well. So it might be yet another record-breaking crowd for Celtic Nation. We'll have to see whether Glasgow Celtic are playing that day. If they are, it might not be a record-breaking crowd. So yeah, we'll wait and see.
Fingers crossed. Because yeah, I think the crowd certainly makes the match, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it makes a fantastic atmosphere. Yeah. And Sheldon have been up in Carlisle when, you know, they again broke their attendance record, and the atmosphere was phenomenal that day. It was really great day out. Yeah. Crooktown are at home. They play Billingham Synthonia on Saturday. Newton Aycliffe are at home on Saturday against Team Northumbria, and it's a tough game for West again. They travel away to Penrith, so that's not going to be an easy game for them either. Mm-hmm.